All right. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sidecar Coffee Podcast. My name is Lewis.
I'm Caleb.
And welcome back. It's been a minute. It
It's been a
feels weird.
second. Yeah,
It
this is
feels
whack.
weird saying the intro again. I almost forgot it. But me and Caleb are not together. This is the first sidecar apart.
We broke up.
No. We're doing long
We're
distance
doing
right
long
now. We're
distance,
doing
yeah.
long distance.
Sorry, he doesn't know we broke up. He's still in denial. I'm just kidding.
Wait, what? Anyway, so today we're kind of gonna do like a little update video or video podcast conversation, little update, little update,
Little thing.
little update, and then also I wanted to touch on our last episode where we talked about filter coffee, and we re-listening to that episode, I realized we missed a couple things that we probably should have talked about, like ratios and TDS and water. And I mean, it's just coffee is this huge, like umbrella of things that you can talk about. And we just kind of looked over that. And I realized like some people might have some questions with, if they're doing filter coffee for the first time, they might want to know what I real like. I remember. And we can get, actually, let's put a pin in this. We're drinking a sidecar. Caleb, what is a sidecar?
So, in our case, a sidecar is a shot of espresso on the side of an espresso-based milk beverage where you use the same espresso from on your side in the milk beverage. Yeah?
Beverage.
Yeah,
Yeah.
beverage.
And so today is also a day that we're not drinking the same coffee.
Yeah, because we're far away, far apart.
Yeah. And so I, dude, my process of pulling this sidecar was a lot. I pulled 4 shots of espresso. I dialed in this coffee yesterday and it was perfect. Today, I pulled at the same grind size and I changed it after every single shot, and it still would not pull. So mine might be a little over extracted, but yeah.
I know my shot is over extracted, but my milk beverage, I don't think it is.
That's
But
why
we gotta
I
find
always
out.
pull my milk beverage first, and then I'll change it for like the black espresso. Anyway, today what I'm drinking is a Matter of Concrete, which is a coffee roasting company in Amsterdam. Let's look that up and double
Yeah.
check.
I think you're right, but yeah.
It is in Rotterdam, in the Netherlands. So I was
Not
close,
the same
but
thing.
I don't think so.
It's the same thing. Same thing, same. I'm just kidding.
That's insane. You just offended the entire country of the Netherlands.
Ah, my
Yeah,
bad, my
Rotterdam is
bad.
outside of the Netherlands, but they're kind of close. It's like
Very
getting
cool.
St. Louis and Kansas City confused, which I guess would
Same
offend a
thing.
lot of people.
Same thing. I'll say it. Same thing.
And yeah, so this is a an espresso blend. It is a blend of a Colombia Pink Bourbon and a Brazil. I can't remember the variety. This was the house espresso of a place I visited in Manchester, England, called Shop Shop. But the first letter, the sh shop is spelled SIOP. So Soip Shop, or
Siop.
something like that. Yeah.
Chop chop.
Caleb, what are you drinking?
So I'm actually sipping on some stuff from Leaderboard. We did not compete in this past season because we weren't going to, and then I forgot to cancel it, and so we got more sent to us. And so this is from I'm looking at their Instagram right now. This is coffee number 8. So if you did Leaderboard, you'll know exactly what I'm drinking. Coffee number 8, it is from Sanctuary Coffee, which is out of the UK as well. Look, or not as well. You're not drinking anything out of the UK.
But I bought it in the UK,
But you
so
bought it. Look at us go. And it is a Rwanda white honey red bourbon. And
wow.
it has notes of Earl Grey, lemon, and malt biscuits.
And mulch.
Malt biscuits.
Ooh.
And so yeah,
What are you
it's
getting out of
nice.
it, man?
It's nice. It's very sweet.
Yeah, I think Rwandas
Ooh.
are At least the ones I've had this year have just been like really so sweet, like ridiculously
Yeah.
like easy, sweet,
This is
delicious.
like, it's like a, there's a very specific ice cream from a place around here, Sugar Chic, that you know it.
I do know it. I
Not,
think it
no,
got bought out, but it's not Sugar Chic
it did.
anymore.
It's Victoria's Creamery now, which, cool.
Anyway.
It's but they have a dairy-free lemon poppy seed ice cream, and it's fire. And this is exactly what it tastes like.
Wow.
And then the biscuits, like it literally tastes like
Biscuit.
buttermilk biscuits. And I never thought that that would be something good to
That
taste.
sounds like a really interesting coffee. It
Yeah,
almost
it
like a
is.
lemon poppy seed like muffin or something. A
Yeah.
scone.
Scone. Well, it's from the UK. That's a, I think they put it in there.
All right, so my little milk or my blend is really good.
What are you getting?
It's up front. You get a lot of that pink bourbon, you get a lot of that pink, really sweet caramel. Kind of like that, like you know that pink bourbon, you know that like red starburst
Yeah.
action. But then it finishes on like a milk chocolate, almost like an almond. It's really pleasant. And this shot's even a little bit, it was a little bit over extracted, but it's not really like overly harsh, which I think is cool. And for like just a milk, like I think this tends to be more of put into milk, especially at like their shop. And so I think this is like a really cool option to have, you know, that I think instead of doing like just kind of like a darker, like single origin as your, or a darker blend, like having this option in your milk, I think is really cool. And I think cortados and cappuccinos are, and obviously flat whites are more
That
common in England. And so with them having this coffee in there, I think it would maybe intrigue people more and like be like, oh, wait, like what are these flavors I'm tasting? Like this isn't what coffee is supposed to taste like. So I really like it when people put exploratory options on espresso because I think that's one of the easiest ways to bring people into this. Oh, like coffee doesn't just taste like bold, like smoky, like that classic coffee, like strong.
That
It
good
can actually
Folgers.
be, yeah, it can actually be intriguing, interesting, complex, and elevated.
Oh.
But now I'm drinking that milk beverage.
Yeah, same. Go on yours. I'm still thinking about mine.
You get a little bit, what? It's a little peanut
Whoop.
buttery. I know that sounds weird, but it's a little peanut buttery.
Yeah.
I don't have a cortado glass, and so this is 6 ounces, so it's kind of hard to cut through. And it's actually in an 8 ounce glass. I just had to cut it off early. And so it's a little hard to cut through the milk and actually get a little bit into this espresso, but it's good. It's creamy. It's nutty. Yeah,
Yeah.
man, I'm getting a lot of like macadamia, vanilla bean, but I think like I've always kind of had trouble, unless it's like a kind of a little bit more processed coffee, I've always kind of had trouble like picking it out of milk. It's like
Okay.
you just kind of get like smaller nuances, but that's just because like I don't have a lot of experience drinking like milk drinks. Like
Yeah.
I don't really, sometimes I'll go down my way to drink a cortado, but that's maybe once a week, maybe.
Yeah, I
And obviously when we record this podcast, but
it's funny 'cause like I feel I do a lot better with milk being more of a vessel of carrying the coffee, and it's also adding so much to the coffee, so much sweetness that it's not as harsh. I feel like even though we've been in coffee for so long, espresso still is just harsh for me sometimes. So I'm just
Yeah.
like, ah, oh, like I have to
I think I think
I have to sip
it,
on it for a
yeah.
while.
And especially doing like these sidecars, like I can't really, the more, and especially like getting back into like visiting all those cafes in England. And I also just got back on the bar here in St. Charles. Like, I can't, the sidecar as a drink is actually like such a good way to taste coffee.
Yeah.
And I just kept thinking about it. Like, I ordered, and it's not in any menu in Europe. Like, they didn't even know what a sidecar was.
It's
And
time for
maybe it
us to
was
put it
just,
on.
maybe it was just the places that I was at. But yeah, this I just had another drink, and I'm getting like a little bit of like a cherry cobbler coming out. It's really good. I really like this blend. I'm excited for you to
Would
come and
you?
try it. But
Yeah, would you say that the blend was again? What varieties?
it's a pink Bourbon, and then I think the Brazil is like something that starts with an O. I don't really think
Is
it's
it
a
Omblagon? Is that what it is?
no, because I think that's something different. Let me.
Know Western, it's Black and White has one of those on their menu right now. But yeah, I don't know. My milk beverage, like, I like it. It's nice, but it's bringing out the like biscuitiness of the coffee. So it's really enhancing like the doughy, like a really doughy, flaky pastry vibe. Like, I don't know. Like, it tastes like straight dough, but also with like confectionery sweetness. So it's like it's really nice, but there's no fruit forwardness, whereas I was getting a lot of like lemon citrusy out of the espresso. So I'm like, where'd it go?
Don't do so.
But it's nice. It's very good. I like this. And that's just something that's super cool about leaderboard. For those who don't know what leaderboard is, it is, I think we talked about it before, but it's a coffee game where you subscribe. You can do a subscription, but you can also just buy one time and compete. And they send you 10 coffees that you have to guess the origin, the region, the variety, the processing, the if it was above or below 1600 miles above sea level in, and if it's a decaf or not. You have to guess all of that just by taste. They give you no information on the coffee, and they release a few like cheat sheets to help you out, and like resources on their Instagram just to make it fun. Like, they do like a playlist on Spotify that like
All right, I'm
the
back.
songs, okay, so the songs in the playlist will have little clues, so that's kind of cool. But yeah, it's a really great way to not only test your palate and test how far, because I remember our first time, we were like, oh, we got this in the bag. This is so easy. We only placed 54 out of 160 something, which is still great. Like, we were still in the top half, but
Yeah, we were definitely like way overconfident. And then our second time
yeah.
doing it, we were like, holy crap, this is so
This
hard.
is hard. Yeah. Yeah.
And
The
it was
second
like,
time.
it was with harder origins. Like, we
Yeah.
never really, there was like two Guatemalas and two Costa Ricas, and we didn't really have a lot of experience with either of those. And so it definitely tests you, and I can't recommend it enough for building your palate.
Yeah,
And it
it's
also
insane.
is really cool because it's really good for finding new roasters, like
Yeah.
tasting the coffee. Like what last season we had Presta in, that was like one of Caleb's favorite coffees.
Yeah, it was a nitro washed out of Colombia, and it tasted like we thought it was a watermelon co-ferment. It was not.
It was insane. But yeah, so I just got this coffee. I wanted to answer this question about, I just went and grabbed this, which their packaging is sick. It is a Colombia and a Brazil. It is a pink Bourbon and an Obata. OBATA.
Obata. That's
So
new.
yeah, I've never really heard of that variety, and that's
Yeah,
why I really
no.
couldn't think of it over the top of my head. But yeah. So let's get into this episode.
Let's
Enough
do it.
yapping. But yeah, this is kind of really the first and longest time me and Caleb have really talked over the past 2 weeks. And that's kind of why we haven't. We've skipped a couple weeks. I was in England as well as Caleb was moving out of his house. And
Yeah.
so we,
Me and
yeah.
my partner moved in together, and that's been very exciting. So, Lily, if you're listening to this, it's been fun.
But yeah, that's what we've been up to.
How was England?
It was sick, man. I really, really enjoyed it. It's really cool to be in, like I was across the world. It's insane.
Who's the pond?
It was a really cool, I was really lucky to have kind of like that opportunity to do that. And I'm really glad that I was on the fence about it. And my mom was like, "You're going." And I was just like, "Okay."
Yeah, traveling's the best education. I'm glad you got to do it. What was like your biggest takeaway from the coffee scene over there?
I think they had, and it's everywhere. Like coffee is everywhere over there. And I was in, it's just such a dense population. So I feel like I was in a lot of cities. And so obviously it might look like there's more places than there actually are. But I was completely kind of surprised at how many places there were. I thought it was cool that some roasteries would have their coffees, but then they would also have a separate roaster spotlight. And so they would bring in a coffee that they liked from another roaster, and they would
Yeah.
also have that on their menu. It's like, that's really cool.
That is sick.
I think what I struggled with is I feel like for the most part, it was transactional experiences at most of the places. I would say maybe I probably went to about 10 that I can think of off the top of my head places and really only had like cool conversations with three people at like three different places. And so, like, and it's, I approached the situation similar in all 10 places. And so it's just, I feel like, and that's a problem here as well. It's not just,
Oh, yeah, for sure.
but if that's something I could take away is like being in a cafe and if you're behind the bar, and even like, and my order, they every single place for the most part that I went to had a separate option on espresso, and that's what I would order. I think espresso for me is one of the easiest ways to kind of get in and out of a cafe. Sometimes when you order a pour over, it just completely throws off the bar. And
Yeah.
I think, and even with sometimes people put their like three different espresso options on, and then they have to redial in their grinder. And so they'll pull the first shot and just get rid of it. And then they'll pull your second shot depending on how the first shot pulled.
Yeah.
I saw that a couple times. And
That's
so
good.
it throws off the bar a little bit. Like obviously it's going to change the flow, but I don't think it's as bad as if I ordered a pour over. And
Yeah.
most of the times I want to taste like lighter roasted coffee or a single origin option. And so having that second option on espresso for me is like the easiest option. And so that's what I
Yeah, for
ordered
sure.
for the majority of the part at all of these places. And so it's like working at a bar, and if someone orders any, like, I feel like, something that's not a latte. And dude, I love this over there. It was so weird getting drip, like in some places I got drip coffee like twice. It comes in an 8 ounce cup. Everything comes in 8 ounce. You get an iced latte, 8 ounce. You get the biggest
Dang.
latte they have, 8 ounce. It's like
Nice.
that's their sizes. You don't have to worry about 28 ounce
Yeah.
lattes
Let me get a 32 ounce.
or
Yeah,
anything like that. And I think that's
that's
something we
funny.
should really take away. Like American sizes, I feel like are just like you get a latte and you expect it to be. And I honestly, I think this is like one of the best ways you can kind of introduce specialty into a space is bringing down your cup sizes because, the smaller concentration you have, the more coffee that's going to come through. And so it's one of the easiest ways you can kind of like bring people into this world of, hey, like you should care about how your coffee tastes. Let's
Yeah.
talk about this. And
It's also at were the prices like lower, you would say, because of the
I
sizes?
and so this is the thing, it's like everything's in pounds, and so
Right. Forgot about
regardless,
that.
it's gonna be like
That
even if I
USD, man.
paid $2.50 or 2.5 pounds for a shot of espresso, it's still like three something. But relatively that's
Yeah.
not bad to what I've paid like $6 or $8 for a shot of espresso, but
I've paid $12 for a shot of espresso before.
But you know,
And it
that's the
was
coffee and
incredible.
that's how the
But
supply chain works.
yeah,
So,
before we get right into this topic, I found so Obata, it's a cross between Time War and Via Sarchi, which is developed by the Instituto Agronomico, IAC, in Campinas, Brazil, and the variety was released in Brazil in 2000. So there you go. That's Obata.
heard. And you
All
learned
right.
something new. That's my first time trying that variety, so
Yeah, that's really, I'm excited to try it.
I think I would like to try more Brazilian coffee. I think, you know, my
Agree.
first experience with Brazilian coffee was a little bit more of a darkly roasted Brazil, and so I think I kind of took that with like, oh, all Brazils are gonna kind of taste like milk chocolate. And I think the past couple Brazils I've had have really surprised me. And so I definitely this year will probably be ordering a couple more Brazils.
Yeah, it's also there's a really nice push in Brazil for farmers to go specialty, and it's just cool to see. A great company that we purchased from a lot is Upshot Coffee in St. Charles, Missouri, which is actually where Lewis is working now. And so, but they actually a year ago went out to Brazil because they had a friend in the area whose friend's dad owns a farm in Brazil, and they went over and actually helped them.
Yeah, they just got to see all the operations on the farm.
Yeah, and then they actually sourced four coffees from them
I
and did
believe
like
they're,
special releases. And I think that it's an ongoing relationship too.
Yeah, it's really cool to see. For those of you that don't know, Brazil is the number one producing coffee country. So,
Yep, and a lot of it goes to the commodity side. So it's
yes.
really cool to see a push to specialty.
It's a
And
scary thing.
then speaking of pour overs from earlier when you were talking about that, let's talk about filter coffee.
Yeah, man. So, going back to the last episode, we covered a lot about brewers, brewing techniques, and batch brewers and the difference between kind of like filter and batch and hand brews and you know there's all of these different names you could use for
Yeah.
them. Also something that was and this is kind of related. Also something that was really cool. I saw probably four places with an Oreo as their
Oh.
method of hand brews, so that was really cool.
Which, as you guys know from the last episode, is our go-to
It's
brewer for
just
it's so
amazing.
solid.
It's
Yeah. I
just
want the new
amazing.
one. I really do.
Yeah. It looks cool. But so what we're talking about is so say I got myself a Time War Chestnut, I got myself an Origami, and I'm really hyped. I just got this brand new coffee in and I want to do a pour over. I'm gonna look up origami recipes, and you're going to see a ranging between probably like 14 grams to you could even see like 24 or 20, 30 grams of coffee in. And you'll see the end number of the water that also goes on top of the coffee and the water that goes in. And so, you know, describing that, like what is 20 grams of coffee in to 300 grams of water out. Like, what does that even mean? That is your ratio. And so that's going to kind of determine the strength of your cup that you brew. Something that you're going to see this a lot, like another brewer that you're going to see, you're going to kind of have a lot of ratio, I guess, like decisions to make is the AeroPress. You'll see a lot of AeroPress recipes that need to be diluted or that
Yeah.
you can keep normal and then add a certain amount of water. So if you ever get into the AeroPress, which me and Caleb love, but there is just a little bit of a learning curve to that. But most of the times you can figure it out through just repetition and trying other brewing methods. There's a lot of websites that just have like 20 AeroPress recipes from different people. For those of
Yeah.
you that don't know, there's an AeroPress championship every single year. And so these people take their brewing methods that they made brewing on the AeroPress and compete. And so that like kind of explains how much of a versatile brewer this is, that they can do that every single year and have different recipes and all of those things. But yeah. So with ratios, I think what we kind of, and again, it's trying everything to your own preference. I don't think, and that's all, you know, brewing coffee is enjoying coffee that you enjoy. I think the ratio that we started with was 1 to 16.
Yeah. And that seems to be the golden ratio across the coffee industry. But again, it goes back to brew what you want, play around with different things, but you'll see mostly a 1 to 15 ratio or a 1 to 16 ratio. And I don't know why, but maybe it's because I'm actually terrible at math, but getting into ratios when brewing coffee was really hard for me. I don't know why, but it just was.
I think
It
it
was.
was, yeah, I think it was something that we just like thought too much about.
Yeah,
Like
I
I
just
remember
couldn't
in
wrap,
practice.
I couldn't wrap my brain around it. But it's li so when you're looking at a recipe and you want to find out the ratio, if the ratio is not listed and you want to find out, okay, I really liked that. Let's say we did a 200 grams of dry coffee in, and we poured 300
200?
grams of, or 20, sorry.
Holy
Oh my
crap.
gosh. Rubber brewer, batch brew over here. No, so 20 grams of coffee, and we dry coffee, and then we put 300 grams of water through, and you're like, okay, I really like that. How can I repeat that for other coffees? Go ahead and take 300, divide it by 20, and you'll get 15. That's 1 to 15 ratio. And all your ratios are is one part coffee to however many parts water. And ratios go not only for pour overs, they go for everything. I think our cold brew ratio is a 1 to 5. That's what
Yeah,
we
I
usually,
think I'm comfortable with 1 to 5 as well.
one to
That's
five.
normally what I do.
Espresso. Espresso is a little different. I think we play around with espresso a lot, but usually 1 to 2 is what you'll see most places use. But I think we do like a 1 to 3.5 because we go up to 55. We put 19 in, 55 out, 1 to 3 point. So yeah, just really look in, always be weighing what you're putting in. I think that's like a
That's just
huge,
about 3.
just
We do
about three.
58, yeah.
I think that's a huge note as well. Like, always measure what you're putting in. And something that really helped me out in the start was writing down everything. So there was like me and Lewis both had notes in our
Yeah,
iPhones
and
about like,
I continue to use that to this day. I have a note
yeah, I'll go
page.
back to it. Yeah.
I also use this for like, and this is not an ad. Yeah. I use this app called Evernote. I'm able to keep my notes on there.
Sponsored. No, I'm just
I
kidding.
have my to-do list on there. I have my calendar in there. It's just kind of like a little app, you know what I'm saying? Like a
The
little
app.
system to do that. But and so every single time I brew coffee or get a new coffee in, I'm taking notes on the grind size, the ratio, the time, even espresso, and filter coffee. I'm marking the time that it extracted in. The brewing method. And you know, you're not always going to have time to do that. I don't do it every single brew. But I try to, you know, it's a conscious thing. But especially with grind size, it's hard sometimes because I have the problem of when I brew something, I'll immediately change the grind size. And so whenever I go to brew again, I'm like, wait, did I change the grind size? Did I do that? Because it's like, I know the last time I brewed the coffee, it either brewed like too fast or too slow. And then I'll end up having to count out all my Commandante clicks and get really upset because
Yeah.
it's a hard thing to do, but you know, first world
Also,
problems.
a really good resource, if you're a person that needs something that's already organized for you, there's a book that actually my dad got me for a graduation gift, so shout out dad.
Shout
It's called The Coffee
out.
Brewer's Logbook. And you've probably seen it around at some cafes on their retail shelves. It's a really long, like small long book. And like long meaning it's like it's short, and then like the I don't know, the pages are just long. I don't know how to like the
We
length
know
of the
coffee,
book.
not book
And
dimensions.
yeah, not book. And But on the inside, it has a really great, every page is like a spreadsheet that's like coffee, region, roast level, roast date, process. And then you get to write down your brew method, grind setting, water temp, dose, water in or yield, and brew time, and then some notes. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 12 lines of that. So you can take one coffee and brew it 12 different times and write out what you liked, which one you liked best. But you can always have something to refer to. So that's always nice.
And then
If you're not
speaking,
good about like organizing your own notes, that's a good resource.
yes.
But yeah, and then ratios are super easy. I can comfortably say that now. They weren't at first, but just think you're gonna multiply you're gonna multiply everything to the coffee.
Yeah,
So your coffee
and
is
again,
your starting point. One part coffee.
it's all personal preference. And so
Yes.
after you get your kind of ratio down, your preferred ratio, and it's also, getting into it even more nerdy, it depends on the coffee. Like some coffees do better in a smaller ratio. I think, and something that's cool about, let's pull up Onyx. They, with almost every single one of their coffees, they'll give you a brew guide. And they'll also hit you with the grind size on, I believe, like six different grinders, which is
Yeah,
insane.
they go Comandante, the Ode, and I'm trying to think what
I'm
new
pulling it up
grinders
right
are.
now.
Maybe a Bentwood or the Zerno.
Dude, the
But yeah.
bent, like speaking of the bent word, it always gets me excited, man. Like, that's just like.
That grinder's so, if I had to buy any grind, actually, if I bought any new grinder, it would be the Mazer.
Yeah, that thing looks crazy too.
It's
Anyway,
insane. Anyways, yeah.
pulling on the Onyx website right now. It has 16 grams of coffee in, water 250 out at 200 degrees Fahrenheit. Again, getting into coffee, and you are like, oh, like this water temperature, like what's going on? I think because starting out, I just bought a kettle off Amazon because gooseneck kettles always kind of help you control the flow of water a little bit more. Boiling water, like it's not something to where you have to, like boil your water and then let it sit for 8, 7.5 minutes precisely. And then I have to start pouring and then I have to pour really fast because I'm worried about the temperature dropping or I have to add ice cubes or put it back on boil. I wouldn't worry about that at the start unless you have like Geisha clouds or a Jansen gate, like some extremely
Crazy.
like crazy coffee that you're worried about every variable. For the most part, there's not huge, like, I guess, I'm like bad
There's
variables
like,
that you're going to get out of it. Yeah, there's
yeah,
not
there's
that
not
many.
huge like discrepancies
You're,
between
yeah, it's
water.
not big diminishing returns. Anyway, so the grind size calculator on Onyx's website, they have the Ike, they have the Fellow Ode, they have the Commandante, they have Commandante Red Clicks, and then they have the Barrazza Vario and the Barrazza Encore. So those are six different grinders that are pretty common, and so they allow that for you guys to look at.
That's super cool.
And yeah, that's something that you love to see. I think, and you can obviously choose any roaster that you want, but starting out, I think Onyx is just such a good place because
Yeah,
I
great
think
resource.
one of the only problem I have with Onyx is that they don't have resealable bags.
Yeah,
That's my only
and
problem.
that's everyone's complaint. And it's so funny because you'll go on Instagram, look at their comment section on every single post, and there's at least like 10 people that are like, please put zippers on your bag. And then they will always respond with, we put it in a box, so it is resealable and it contains. And I'm like, it's not the same though, okay? Like sometimes I don't want to carry around the box, all right? But that's just a little gripe. And
But yeah.
honestly, if that's the worst thing about them, they're doing a great job.
But yeah, I think my biggest thing with getting into coffee, and getting into brewing your filter coffee is, you know, walking into a place and the biggest option and the smallest option you have is 12 ounces or 8 ounces at the very least. It's like getting into coffee, you're only going to brew that once or twice a week. And so that coffee is going to last you maybe, you know, even past a month, month and a half, maybe even two. And so, you know, we're always going to advocate for brewing fresh coffee. And so, you know, when you get that coffee for the first time, it's going to taste exactly how they want you to taste it. But slowly over time, it's going to degas. And you're not really going to have that same experience, which is unfortunate. And so Onyx having 4 ounce bags, I think is a really good way for people to, first of all, try a bunch of different coffees,
And
but
for,
also not have as much coffee go bad or go to waste.
yeah, also, going back a little to ratios are really great for scaling your brew as well. So let's say you're at home and you are brewing 1 to 15, you'd put 20 grams in, 300 out, you're really happy with that. Well, then you have four friends come over and you're like, oh, I need more coffee than just 300 grams, so I don't want to do four different brews. And maybe you're trying to put it on your batch brewer. And so that's a really great way to take however much water that you're using, divide it by 15, and you'll get how many grams of coffee to use. Unfortunately, we live in a world where we use cup measurements here instead of like milliliters or just grams overall.
And yeah,
And
and so that's
so
the
you
whole
have to
like
convert.
confusing conversion. So you have to convert, I think it's 8 ounces of liquid is 1 cup.
Yeah.
And then you have to
So,
figure out the ounces into milliliters. Milliliters equals grams, so it's a little bit
yes.
easier, but yeah.
So yeah, then once you get that, I always say convert to grams, I think, because your scales are always going to be in grams. So I think that is the best way to do it.
And my first coffee scale I bought had a conversion from, I could put it into like four different measurements. And so I could convert, it had an option for me to measure in ounces. And so that was really, really nice.
Yeah, that is nice. But yeah, and then so moving on from ratios, hopefully we explained it well.
Yeah, sorry, we're a
It
little bit
can
all
be,
over the place. We had a lot to say.
yeah, you're good. I think ratios are super easy when you don't think about them too hard, and that's just something that we had to learn. But now we're going to talk about extraction. And
Yeah.
this is usually like a scary word, but it's really not. We're
And
literally just
so,
going to talk about
yeah.
what comes out of the dry coffee.
And so, like, this is something that you'll see, hear me and Caleb talk about all the time. And so we'll brew something and you'll say, oh, this is a little over, this is a little under. You know, what does that mean exactly? And so, getting into extraction, you. And all we're talking about, yeah, and so that's what we're talking about when we're talking about over or under. Most of the times you can taste the difference. Getting into your filter coffee and dialing everything in, that first couple brews aren't going to be perfect. And so you're going to have either over or under extracted coffee. And so it's like tasting the difference between that. Your under extracted coffees are going to have a lower TDS and a lower extraction yield. Caleb, do you want to get into what the heck is a TDS?
What is a TDS? TDS stands for total dissolved solids. And so when we're talking
It's
about,
not touchdown score.
it's not touchdown score.
Dang.
No, I don't think maybe I'm wrong, but no, I'm just kidding. It's total dissolved solids. And so with extractions, only about 30% of coffee is soluble material. It's stuff within the dry coffee that is actually ending up in the water itself. So that's leaving 70% of your brew to be just water, which is why water is incredibly important. And we'll touch on that later. I think that's a topic that is also super scary, and we'll talk about that later. But TDS being the total dissolved solids, and we'll go based on the SCA, Specialty Coffee Association,
Worms.
Yeah,
Definition.
like parameters.
Bro's lagging over there.
So let's dive by. So TDS, there's a way to measure TDS in all liquids. It's a refractometer. So
Yes.
refractometry
Ow.
is this, dude, science is hard, okay? Is this it's this little machine that you put liquid into this eye, you close the lid, and it just shoots light and bounces light through a liquid to measure how much of that liquid is soluble material, so
Yes.
solids. So TDS of zero is empty water. So think distilled water. That will always have a TDS of zero. So empty water, if you were to brew with just distilled water, you would probably end up with like a dull flat cup, because there are a lot of minerals out there that are great for coffee brewing and help coffee
Bring out
extract better.
desirable, I
Desirable.
guess, like taste and stuff. And so
Yeah.
talking about all of these sciencey things, I think it's a good thing to have in your head, but being new into coffee, you don't need a refractometer.
No,
Like,
please don't
and
buy one. They're
yeah,
literally $700. Please don't buy
this
one.
is kind of something that industry professional has or like extreme home enthusiasts that measure every single one of their brews. And so when you get into brewing coffee, you'll kind of be able to get a taste of, oh, this is a little dull. This is a little airy. Like, I'm not getting everything out of this coffee. It's a little sour. That's going to be under extracted. That means you have a lower TDS. That means you have a low extraction yield. And then getting into over, it's a smack in the face. It's like, oh gosh, this is extreme. This is astringent. This is bitter.
Yeah,
And you
very,
know,
very
like,
bitter,
and
just rough,
some
not
people are
enjoyable.
like, oh, well, all coffee's bitter. You watch your mouth.
No,
You watch your freaking
you better shut it. All right.
mouth.
It's a sin.
but yeah,
How dare
those are
you?
kind of like the telltale signs. And but yeah, so like getting back into TDS, I just wanted to intrude there on Caleb's
No, that's great.
teaching time because it's something that,
Professor.
yes,
Professor.
something that you can like get a little too caught up in. But again, it's just, you know, finding your ratio, finding the best way to brew that certain coffee that you're brewing. And then, you know, everything is just tasting as much as you can so you can actually taste like, oh, this is what over tastes like, this is what under tastes like. This is perfect for this coffee. And yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna make it also a little harder for you too, because I love that coffee is a challenge. It is, every coffee is completely different. So just when you think, oh, this grind size, it's perfect, it's not. It's a perfect extraction. I love it. You put a new coffee on that. Very rarely will it translate to other coffees, and so it's just so much fun because when you're constantly tasting coffee and constantly playing around with grind size and ratios, you're gonna find that, because we'll do brews all the time, and we've been in coffee for a while, and we're just like, oh, this is over. You heard at the beginning of this episode, like, it was over
Yeah, literally a
extracted.
coffee I brewed perfect yesterday to my liking. And I just couldn't get it today. And so that's the thing with coffee. It's like it's frustrating, but
Yeah.
there's always something to work towards, you know? And
And
so talking about this, I just want to intrude just for a second. You could be, you know, we're talking about all the preferred, we're talking about preferred TDS, and preferred extraction yields. These are all just kind of like parameters, but it's not like if you brew a coffee and it's below a 1 TDS or it's below an 18% extraction or not in these or like 26% extraction, and but you like the way it tastes, that's
it's
all
good
that
coffee.
matters.
That's all that matters. Yeah.
That's all that matters.
So we'll kind of go through. We have some notes that we've pre-written out here. Not everything we do is off the dome. We actually do a little research around here. There's a really great book if you want to really dive deep, and I mean deep
Very deep.
into filter coffee, and learn more about like how extractions happen and TDS and where you should be. It's a book called The Physics of Filter Coffee, and you're like, what physics? So Jonathan Gagne is
Not
a
physics.
ash is a Jonathan Gagne is a astrophysicist who also really enjoys coffee, and so he has focused his career now specifically on coffee. Pretty sure he has a few other projects, but one of his books that he has is The Physics of Filter Coffee, and I am like halfway through this book because I'll read a page and I'll have to reread that page like four times because physics terminology is hard.
It's very in-depth. It's very informational.
But we
It's very,
pulled some
it's the
notes.
best. It's the
We
best I've read.
gathered some notes from this book that we're kind of just going to run through just so you have, and you can re-listen to this section later on because I don't even understand half of it. But Jonathan Gagne says that preferred extraction yields are from 18% to 22%, with below 18 being considered under extracted and above being 22 being over extracted. So what he means by those percentages is that is the percentage of the dry coffee that is soluble material that is in your cup. So going back, 30% of coffee it max is soluble material, leaving the other 70% water. So 18 to 22% of that coffee, of those dry soluble materials being in your cup is great.
Yeah, and so
Constant,
sorry,
sorry,
I'm
go
gonna
for it.
intrude right here.
Do it.
All of coffee isn't just one substance that extracts at one even rate. And so being like, oh, I want 100% extraction. No, you don't,
Well,
because your
no.
coffee would taste your coffee would not taste good.
Yeah, there's so much
There
in
are really good
coffee.
tasting things in coffee, and there are also
Yes.
not the best tasting things in coffee, and they all extract at different rates. And so these numbers,
Also
and
different temperatures too.
yes,
Like
and
you would
these
have to get up.
extraction yields are kind of like the best way. And I'm not saying, there could be new research, there could be different coffees that come out, but these parameters are kind of like the best way to get the most pleasant things out of your coffee. And so it's the best way to kind of enhance your drinking and brewing experience.
Yeah, also, we want you to always outsource for other resources. We are not the end all be all with this, especially in the coffee industry. In 5 years, we could be saying that 100% extraction is what we should be shooting for.
Yeah,
Who
we could have.
knows?
Yeah,
Who
no one
knows what
knows.
could happen? But as of right now, this is kind of just the standards of the industry. And also a really cool resource that I've used for like filter coffee specifically is watching the World Brewers Cup. Those are really fun to watch, and just listening to other people explain coffee always helps.
Yeah, and
So,
we'll never stop recommending Lance Hedrick when
no,
getting
yeah,
into anything.
Lance, that's Big Daddy Lance.
The GOAT.
So let's get into some concentration. So concentration is determined by quantity of compounds and how much water was used to dilute them. So, in Jonathan Gagne's book, he says that 1.0 to 1.5% concentration is the desirable by most that most people that he had asked and surveyed. So, this lands coffee extraction to concentration being desired. So, we're going to do extraction to concentration ratio being desired 1.4% concentration to a 21% extraction rate. What? Say
What?
that again. So concentration to extraction ratio, 1.4% concentration and 21% extraction. However, espresso is a kind of a different ball game here. With it being a finer grind size, you actually don't want to extract as much out of espresso. So the concentration of espresso is usually about 7 to 12%.
Yeah, you're just gonna get more soluble material out of espresso. It doesn't go through a filter most of the time. You just got that portafilter. It also brews at higher pressures, and so you're able to get more out of that.
And then
And that's why like espresso mouthfeel is like such a big deal, just because you're getting a lot different of a concentration of materials out of
Yeah,
that.
and with espresso too, you want to shoot for around the same extraction, but your concentration is what will be higher, right? So you're it's less water, more of that straight soluble material, but you want the same extraction percentages, or you're just gonna have a not fun time with espresso. So going back to TDS, which reminder, total dissolved solids. It's what the
Touchdown.
solubles within the solids within coffee that can be dissolved through water. So higher TDS is the more minerals you have to extract and interact with the coffee's dissolved solids, which is what ends up in your cup. And then
So I
let's get
think,
into minerals.
yeah, and so this is something that me and Caleb, I think for about like the first 2 years of coffee, we're like, brewing water is not a big deal.
Yeah, we were like, nah, who cares?
I'm not buying minerals for my water. That
It's a scam.
is a scam. It's not.
It is actually not a
We
scam.
brewed, and so the water that we brewed with at work was filtered.
It's
And
triple filtered.
so yes, triple filtered. And so we would brew coffee at work. And it would always be better.
It was
And we would
always
be
better, and we'd be like,
brewing the same coffee at home, the same grind size, the same method. Everything is the exact same. And we would just not be getting as vibrant of cups, as transparent of cups. And we could never figure it out. And one day, I think we were just like, you know, man, you know what I think it is? It's the water. And so that was just, and it was, go ahead.
we also started using so there's a few great companies out there, but one that we actually use a lot now is Third Wave Water. So Third Wave Water provides little packets of minerals that you put through a gallon of distilled water, and it those that that measurement and that gosh, the
Makeup of minerals.
makeup of mineral, thank you, is
Touchdown.
makes the distilled water optimal for coffee brewing. So there are a lot of minerals out there that actually help extraction and help kind of balance out your cup and enhance different things, vibrancies, and brings out different things within the coffee. So Third Wave Water has done a great job of creating little packets of minerals that make distilled water great for brewing coffee. And we were like, nah, I'm not buying that. There's no way it's better. Look into your water in your area. Look at you can actually search up your water in your area and look at what minerals are in it and how much of the minerals. We have really hard water in Missouri, meaning it's just calcium rich. There's lots of calcium. So there are things that calcium specifically brings out in coffee that is, to us, is being brought out way more and overshadowing everything else because we have such calcium dense. Also, the town that we live in is right on the river. Like, the river is a 2-minute walk for me. And so, yeah, Third Wave Water really just balances out everything. It also makes it consistent wherever you're at. This is not like a plug for Third Wave Water. I mean, we're not getting paid for
Yeah,
it,
there's
but
various different things that you can buy, but that's just
that's one of
buying
the things.
leaderboard. We got
Yeah. You get
you
two
get third
packets
wave
of,
water.
yeah, you get two packets of filter and you get three packets of espresso water. So they have different makeups of water for different brewing methods. It's really awesome.
And so also I think my first experience was Luminous. Luminous sends
Shout
perfect
out.
coffee water with their you can buy like their to-go box. And so this is something that I got an experience for the first time. And I was like, wow, this is crazy actually how much of a difference it makes. And it's, you know, looking at it, you're like, dude, that's so nerdy. You buy distilled water and then add minerals into it. Well, it's like, I care about the taste. And if that's not something that you care about, don't do it. But if you want to get the most out of your coffee tasting experience and really care about it, I think it's something that's worth investing in. And it's really, you know, for a pack of what, 12 or it's like $14 on Amazon, and you can get it
Yeah.
shipped to you. And, you know, that's I still have coffee f or we use Third Wave for our coffee pop-up, and we used
Yeah,
about
we did.
like 4 gallon, maybe 5 gallons of water.
Yeah, I
And
think,
then
yeah.
I've used the same packets that I still have, and I still have like 3 or 4 in there. So it's like, and that was almost a month and a half ago. So like it lasts a really long time. And I think it's well worth doing. And so it's like
Agree.
it's something that's really small that can help out your, tasting experience and brewing experience a lot.
Yeah, and it also allowed for us to have the same water for all of our brews. So water was not a variable for us that we had to worry about because we were taken care of with Third Wave and having those gallons already set up. We didn't have to worry about our coffee tasting off from being at home because the entire time we were dialing coffee for the pop-up,
Yeah.
we were
And
using the
so
Third Wave water and distilled.
just kind of like a little,
Recap.
I think with magnesium, some people can say that it helps extract brighter, fruitier notes, while calcium can help bring out heavier, creamier flavors. And I'm getting this off of Google, so there's
Yeah,
that.
shout out
I
the
wanted to actually get it right because, and then adding sodium also takes down acid a little bit.
goog.
And that's with anything. So
Yeah, that's with
even if you
cooking
get,
too.
yeah, and even if you get, like, say you brew filter coffee at home, just add a little salt. If it's a little over extracted, it might bring down the intensity a little bit. James
It's
Hoffman
not
did a
kidding, yeah.
video. James Hoffman did a video on that if you want to cite me. So there's that, and
Fight
there's
me.
yeah, there's that, and there's a whole lot of knowledge that we just dropped on you guys along
That,
with
yeah, that was
some.
a lot. So we're gonna do a small recap if you've made it to the end of this. I hope you did. That was a lot of information. But it's also a lot of information that if you're just now starting your coffee journey and you're starting it with us, thank you, first of all. But two, don't stress. No,
Yeah,
no, no
stop
stressing,
stressing. So
right?
coffee shouldn't be stressful. It's as.
It's such an enjoyable thing.
Yes. And so this is also like a cool thing about finding like a cool cafe. They do all of this for you. And so
Yeah. Yeah.
getting into tasting coffee, you don't necessarily have to worry about starting a meth lab in your kitchen. That's something that you get into later.
Gotta cook,
After
Jesse.
you refine, after you refine your, because it's like getting into this. If you don't necessarily have a palate for coffee, it's really hard to make the differences. You know what I'm
Well,
saying?
it's also
So
really
it's
hard
like,
to care too. It's like,
yeah. And so it's like the more coffee you taste, the more of a palate you're going to have for it, the more you're going to be able to taste the difference between an over and an under extracted brew, the more you're going to be able to taste the difference in TDS or extraction. And so, yeah, at the end of the day, drink more coffee, drink
yeah,
better coffee.
drink better coffee, buy
And
better coffee.
yeah, if you don't like the taste of your coffee and you I have worried about all of these other variables, you're like, I know this ratio is right, I know my water's right, I bought a refractometer and it's testing right and it still tastes bad, it's probably the coffee.
Yeah, at that point, it's probably the coffee. But yeah, and then I guess just to end things off, like it's not that serious. It is. We just wanted to put this out there
Have fun
for
with it, but
this is
also
definitely an
have the
episode that,
knowledge.
yeah, this is an episode that we recommend coming back to, I think.
Yeah. And
We
so,
just want to
yeah,
put this
this
out here for
is.
resources, but at the end of the day, it should be fun. So just as long as what, again, we'll re-say it, as long as what you are brewing, you enjoy. And there's little intention behind it.
Yeah, that's all that
That is
matters.
good coffee.
Regardless of what two nerds on the internet say,
Two bozos, if you
whatever you
would.
prefer is what is right.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was it.
That's
That wasn't that
the
wasn't that
freaking
bad.
episode, dude. We got
That
through it.
is.
Wow.
Thank you guys if you've made it this whole way listening to us talk some science. Expect
Oh.
more out of us.
Yes. Well, we got everything situated.
Life has gotten significantly easier with being out of school. Lewis has one more year, but
To
we
run
now have a
track,
better
not
schedule.
because I'm stupid, but also because not stupid, but anyway.
We also have some in awesome episodes in the next couple weeks
Yeah,
that
stay
I'm very
tuned,
excited
man.
about.
We're
So stay
cooking.
tuned. We are cooking.
We are cooking. And yeah, so stay tuned. And me and Caleb, we greatly apologize. Life just keeps coming at us.
It does, but we.
And we are very, very motivated for this. Sidecar is something that we care a lot about, and that is a part of all of our, I would say like both of our daily lives. I think about it. And yeah, so we got that cooking, man.
Yeah, every Monday I feel awful. We don't release an episode.
It's
I
been
just feel
bad the past 2 weeks,
it's,
but
yeah, it's
we
been rough.
really haven't
Also,
had time.
yeah, also Lewis has been in England exploring the world. Like, that's, can't fault anybody for that. What?
Learning what a
So,
flat white was.
all right. Well,
Now I gotta go to Australia to actually find out.
flower.
That's just a joke. All right, that's the episode, guys.
That is, yeah, for real this
Thanks for
time. That's the
tuning in.
episode.
There we
Yeah,
go.
and stay on the
We'll
lookout
catch you
for new
guys soon.
episodes.
You better keep those retinas open.
Follow us at Sidecar Pod on Instagram. Stay tuned for new episodes, and also be on the lookout for another pop-up.
Oh, what?
Oh.
Ah.